Most of us can only imagine what it would be like to learn we have cancer and it's terminal. Our first guest and her late husband heard that news twice. But Alice Hardesty watched as her husband lived two more decades after that first diagnosis. Watched is not the right word. She helped him through his health challenges. Alice Hardesty is a former Ashland resident, now based in Portland. She returns to Ashland for a reading tomorrow night from her book, An Uncommon Cancer Journey, The Cosmic Kick That Healed Our Lives. Alice, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.
Is this your first book?
Well, it's my first. Yes, it is my first book. I have published before, but mostly technical monographs and things like that. So
the first general interest kind of book then?
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Tell us about making the decision to write it, because you've been sitting on the information for a while.
That's right. Well, I started to write it while I was still living in Ashland. Jack knew about it, of course, and thought it was a good idea. It just seemed like it was such an interesting journey and really so hopeful that I thought it would be a good idea to write it down and share it. I had written it in draft form by the time Jack died in 06, and he died not of cancer but of a heart attack. And then, of course, I didn't want to pick it up for quite a while after that. And so about a year after I'd moved to Portland, I decided, okay, it's time to do this and write it up and share it with the public. So that's what I did.
One of the things that the book brings forward is a sense of irony. I mean, you take what life gives you, for sure, and then you figure out what to do with it from there. But for example, what did Jack do for a living when he worked for the government?
Well, he was in public information for EPA and also for the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. He was a journalist. He started out as a journalist.
Some of his work was actually directly involved with health matters, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. He worked for the Public Health Service for many years. Yeah.
And so,
yeah, he was definitely very interested in health, and he was one of the people who was instrumental in drafting the Occupational Safety and Health Act back in 1970.
So that people would not have to suffer workplace injuries needlessly.
And injuries and health problems, yeah.
How did a TV show about China get Jack to the doctor for his initial diagnosis?
Well, I was just, one evening, I was just watching public TV and saw this program on esophageal cancer in China and thought, wow, that's very interesting, and how common it was in this certain part of China, and that the most common symptom was trouble swallowing. And I'd say the next day I watched him as he had trouble swallowing his dinner, and I thought, uh-oh, something's going on here. So basically it was what I saw on TV that got him to the doctor the first time.
He kind of poo-pooed the concerns, it sounds like, for a while, which indicates a general difference in approach between you and he in the approach to his cancer. It sounds like he was generally pretty mellow about the things he had to go through to get treated.
He was remarkably mellow. I mean, I just think this is one of his wonderful characteristics. He was just, okay, he'd go along with it if chemotherapy and surgery was necessary, okay, he was up to it. If that didn't work, all right, we'd try something else, and he was up to that. He never, he never panicked. He never got terribly upset about it. He was just always ready to try something else.
How does that contrast with your own reaction to what was going on?
Oh, I was, of course, the worrier of the family, We got to do something right now. And so I pushed him some. And later on, he was grateful for it. But at the time, he thought it was pretty annoying that I was pushing him like that.
Alice Hardesty is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the author of a book called An Uncommon Cancer Journey, The Cosmic Kick That Healed Our Lives. She'll be doing a reading tomorrow night in Ashland at Bloomsbury Books at 7 p.m. That'll last until 8 o'clock. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. How did things go? So he had chemotherapy, first of all. and then surgery. So what was the nature of the surgery for esophageal cancer in his case?
Well, it was an experimental protocol at NIH, National Institutes of Health in Washington. And fortunately, we lived NIH, and so he was able to take advantage of that. And the chemotherapy was with pretty strong chemicals, platinum and others. And then the surgery was an experimental protocol, but nowadays they use that type of surgery all the time. It was pretty extreme.
They pretty much squeeze the stomach up further by removing the esophagus and just sort of repositioning the stomach. Is that the way that works?
That's it. They removed the esophagus completely, and I think that's what they do nowadays, pretty much. And they pulled the stomach up to the back of his nasopharynx, the back of his nose and throat, so then he swallowed directly into his stomach. In other words, they just took out the esophagus.
Which I understand provided some surprising moments for family members at meals.
Right. Yeah, we'd kind of forgotten that he was swallowing directly into his stomach. And that his stomach was basically in his neck. And so one time at dinner, my daughter noticed that there was this strange bulge in his neck. And, of course, I panicked, called NIH right away. And they said, well, you know, does it bother him? No, it didn't. And call in the morning if it's still there. And, of course, it was gone in the morning. And then the next day, the same thing happened, and then all of a sudden we got the clue. Oh, right, that was his dinner on its way down. So it was not to be worried about.
Why is esophageal cancer often called bartender's disease, Alice?
Well, it certainly was in those days. I don't know if it still is, but a bartender often has, or used to, I don't know if this is the way it is anymore, but used to have a drink going on the side and a cigarette going on the side. And the combination of drinking and smoking together increases the chances of esophageal cancer something like 60-65%. Anyway, this is what was told to us by a doctor friend.
And so what had to change in Jack's behavior once he was getting treated for esophageal cancer?
Well, he stopped smoking. In fact, he had stopped smoking. He smoked a pipe. He never smoked cigarettes. He smoked a pipe, and then he smoked little cigars, those little cigarillos, for a while, and he stopped all of that. And he stopped drinking the hard stuff. He stopped drinking martinis and scotch. But he still drank wine. Anyway, but there were a lot of changes besides the smoking and drinking that he made that were very important changes, I thought.
Now, I noticed that you and Jack would not use the term remission, even though it looked like you'd beaten esophageal cancer once. Why did you not want to use that term?
Well, we felt that remission implied something temporary. And basically, we felt that he was cured. He was well. And that remission to us sort of felt like, well, it might come back and it might not.
Sort of like a temporary fix.
Yeah, we were pretty convinced that he was well. And he was. The cancer was gone.
But then it did recur.
Well, it did recur after the first treatment at NIH. It came back 3 years later, and then we went to Germany for treatment, and we tried all these alternative and complementary things, lifestyle changes, intensive psychotherapy, the whole bit. And that's when he got well and stayed well.
I'm kind of glossing over some of the details here in your book, Alice Hardesty, An Uncommon Cancer Journey, but there is obviously lots in here about the marriage itself, which was not always on the firmest of footings, but you really, sounds like, developed a partnership over the years with Jack as you continued to push against cancer.
Yeah. For the first couple of years or so, our marriage was not great. I mean, it was sort of like we didn't really know what we'd gotten ourselves into. And then we had a lot of baggage at first. And then when the cancer recurred and we went into intensive psychotherapy and we did so much healing work, both of us, that, yes, we developed a really very strong, strong partnership.
How exotic did any of the treatments get that Jack used in the years that he was working against cancer?
Well, it depends on your definition of exotic, you know. At the time, nothing felt exotic. We just wanted to try everything. And he was up for trying everything. So, I mean, you could consider foot reflexology exotic, or... And I learned that and did it on him every day for more than a year. I also learned acupressure, and I did that on him every day for more than a year. Our therapist told us that it was very important for him to understand the connection between his body and his mind. So she wanted us to walk on hot coals. And I thought, that's great, you know, he can do that. But she said, no, I should do it too, because of this partnership we developed, and I needed to support him. So
this is not a metaphor, is it? We're actually talking about walking on hot coals.
Not exactly metaphor.
Okay.
No, this is what our very intuitive and very directive therapist said. Now this is what you're going to do. So that's what we did.
Now, a therapist also introduced you to the term tyranny of the sick, and I'm just curious how that phrase struck you when you first heard it.
Oh, it was kind of a relief, actually, because it's sort of like our whole lives were revolving around his cancer, his illness, and so... I felt like, well, I really just needed to do everything to support him. And if he wanted something, then he should have it, whatever. And she taught us that this is not necessarily the way to go, that the caregiver sometimes has a pretty rough role. For me, it wasn't so bad because Jack was, first of all, he was pretty healthy during all of this. He was not feeling horribly sick, and he was game, you know. He wanted to try whatever he could, and so I didn't have it too hard. But some people, you know, they just have to wait on the patient all the time. They feel like they have to do whatever the patient wants, whatever that is. And this is what Barbara meant when she was talking about the tyranny of the sick. So for me, it felt more okay that I, you know, I wanted to resist sometimes, and I wanted my own life sometimes. Does that make sense?
It does. It does, because, I mean, otherwise you're essentially at the beck and call of the ill person all the time. But
yeah,
it sounds like Jack never really thought of himself as a sick person.
No, he didn't. Yeah, he only had one... There was only one time that he felt really bad. I mean, a couple of times, actually, really sick, but they didn't, fortunately, last very long.
And ultimately, he did last, what, 24 years after the initial diagnosis of esophageal cancer? Really?
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, it was not that cancer that caused his death.
That's right.
So would you recommend your approach to anyone else? I mean, can we assume that you are because you wrote this book?
I would, yeah. And what I would recommend is that people try everything, you know, whatever they feel might help. And it's going to be different for everybody. I mean, some people would just love massage and body work, and other people would not. Jack, for instance, did not like the macrobiotic diet, which we tried, you know, for a week or so, and he was so depressed by it, we went right back to macaroni and cheese. But, you know, I think what people need to do is just try everything they feel is appropriate for them, and especially the counseling. I think that is so important.
So take care of your mind as well as your body at that time.
Oh, your mind, your heart, your spirit. Yeah.
The book is called An Uncommon Cancer Journey, The Cosmic Kick That Healed Our Lives. Alice Hardesty wrote it. You can see her again, hear more of her tomorrow night at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, talking about the book and reading from it. Alice, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
It's a pleasure here.